Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Brad and Gary. And Gary, we were the dream team.
We were. You know, we were the two puppets up in the balcony on the Muppet Show.
That's the two puppets. Oh, my God.
That's what Themis Claridis, our House Minority Leader, used to call us.
I prefer to think of it as people that were critically analyzing every action that was going on in that building.
Well, can you believe the things that go on? Well, you're still there, but I mean, nothing ceases to amaze you anymore, does it?
No, it really doesn't. It's an amazing building. There's a tremendous disconnect between being up there and talking to the people that have to deal with the end result of the actions that are taken in that building.
Yeah.
And it's truly amazing.
How often, Tom, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but how often do you perform coffee hours or town halls?
I'll put it to you this way. I go into Home Depot, I go into Lowe's, I go into Stop and Shop, I go across the street and I get takeout food. I'm doing a town hall at that point in time. It's not unusual for me to go shopping and to spend over an hour doing nothing more than answering questions, much like what happened this past Saturday.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a second. The same thing happened to me. I would do coffee hours every 6 weeks, and I would do town halls twice a year. I would do one in the spring, and I would do one in the fall. In the spring, I would talk about what we just did. And the town halls they were like legislative roundtables. We would talk collaboratively. You know, it was an open forum. And then I would discuss, you know, the legislation that passed and what didn't and so on and so forth. And the one in the fall, I would discuss some of the bills that we see coming down the pipeline for the next legislative session. And maybe take some suggestions for bills that constituents would like to propose. But the difference between that and coffee hours were the coffee hours gave people an opportunity to speak with me one-on-one on private issues. But to your point, exactly. I mean, I would go to the grocery store. In fact, my wife would even take that away from me. She'd go, no, you're not going to the grocery store because I need these ingredients in the next 15 minutes. And if I know if I send you, you'll be an hour in 15 minutes.
Oh, how true, Gary. I've got to tell you.
You know? Go ahead.
I almost think that more is accomplished on those one-on-one conversations at the stores, when I go into local businesses, because the local business people, they're dealing with these issues one-on-one, and a lot of these folks are having a really, really tough time just trying to make ends meet with the different things that the legislature has done and the different burdens that are placed on by the various commissions like Environmental Protection, Energy and Technology, et cetera.
So I was telling Brad that I received a phone call from Tom Delnicki.
That's right.
My colleague up at the House, and that I received a phone call from you over the weekend.
Right.
And I was telling Brad this yesterday. The reason why you called was that you had noticed that the state DOT, the Department of Transportation, was doing mowing the lawn on off of state roads on a weekend.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, you know, Brad, I've got to tell you, it shocked me to see the Department of Transportation, and let me just back up for one moment. The men and women that do the work, I have the utmost respect for. They've got a tough job. They're working in dangerous conditions, and God bless them. But the fact that we had apparently scheduled mowing going on a weekend, you know, that's a time and a half issue.
They're not paid
straight time. They're paid time and a half. Mm. And I thought it was isolated, you know, literally to my community. But in talking to friends yesterday, one of them mentioned to me that they saw Route 9 being mowed. And, you know, quite frankly, I'd like to hear from your listening audience if they saw the same thing going on to try to get a feel for what the magnitude of this was. Is this becoming a general practice to do this kind of work on a Saturday on overtime? Or was this just an anomaly? And I'm hoping that you folks will be some kind of a data collection point. I've asked my aide to contact the DOT to find out what's going on here and why. Because, again, overtime work by the Department of Transportation, of course, snow plowing. You have a huge pothole that is damaging vehicles. A guardrail gets damaged on the side of a highway. We're talking health safety issues that could have a tremendous impact on a person's life versus mowing the grass on the side of a state road, which, you know, I thought the signs had been left there by accident from Friday when I saw them Saturday, but then when I saw the crew working, and they were working, they were doing their job there. But why were they doing it on a Saturday? That's really the question.
Overtime.
Yeah, overtime. But they're not the ones that make the decision. It's the brass hats, the bosses, that make that kind of a decision. And why in the world would they have them out there working on a Saturday?
Now, just to be clear, these were state roads, correct?
Correct. Route 30. It was reported to me by a colleague that Route 9 was also being mowed.
And this was on Saturday.
Saturday, correct. Correct. That's what really shocked me.
There's our tax dollars, folks.
Yeah.
And we're in a deficit, too, mind you.
Yeah,
huge.
And bear in mind that...
And these guys were both there.
Yeah, every penny counts. Every dollar counts.
Wow.
And when you're doing that kind of work on overtime, you have a limited budget for overtime work. And typically that's banked away, as you probably know, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
It's banked away with the anticipation of winter snows and accidents where they have to provide support, that kind of work.
Wow.
And this was a real change from what I, quite frankly, I can't recall ever seeing that kind of work being done on a Saturday. Let alone in the type of budgetary situation we're in now.
Well, Tom, I'll tell you something right now. These are things that I know people probably have thought has gone on, but there are people like you and my partner now here on the radio that were the best and did what they were supposed to do. And I was so happy when I learned that you were going to be on with us this morning.
Well, I appreciate that, Brad. You know, I learned in local government that, you know, tax dollars mean something. That when you spend the people's money, you need to spend it wisely. You need to spend it like your own money. And you need to be tight-fisted. You need to make sure the priorities are addressed. And you need to be as frugal as possible because, quite frankly, we have so many people leaving the state of Connecticut. Now they call it negative population growth. I have never heard terms like this before in my life.
No.
And I had a friend, former mayor of the town of South Windsor, and she just moved to South Carolina. They did the math, and it was more economical for them to live and work in South Carolina.
Was she a Republican or Democrat?
She was a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And her husband is retired, and he stood to receive a tremendous increase, basically like a pay increase, by the fact that there were less taxes down there, burden on your pension, cost of energy, the cost of groceries, the cost of everything being less down there than up here.
So, Tom, you have your aide place a phone call or an inquiry regarding why there was mowing performed by the state DOT on a Saturday, which would incur time and a half of the taxpayers' dollars. I need you to do us a favor here on Talk of Connecticut, and that is update us on the status of that regarding the answer that you received from the state DOT.
I will gladly get back in touch with you folks.
Fabulous.
Once I get an answer.
Fabulous.
Because there could be a good reason.
Yeah, well, exactly.
But this is what I need to know. This is what the taxpayers are asking me. I wanted to Stop and Shop, and I had somebody ask me, why are they mowing the side of the road on a Saturday?
Well, right, Tom. And like you said, there could be a very good reason, but here's the thing. It's public perception. If there's a good reason, the public isn't made aware of it.
Correct.
So if there is a good reason, let's get that reason out so that people can be, you know, satisfied with, hopefully, with the answer. And if there's not a good reason, well, there's some explaining to do, you know?
Exactly.
They've got to answer to us. We're the one. It's our money.
Hey, we pay the bills.
Each and every taxpayer
in the state of Connecticut is paying the bills, and they deserve a level of accountability, period.
I agree. Okay, Tom, thanks so much for the call.
Tom, you have no idea. Here I am, and I have a great partner now, and it's coming home. This has been going on, I'll bet you, for a long time, and now we can do something about it. And trust me, something will be done.
Well, I appreciate that, Brad. Brad, you've always been a champion for the average person in the state of Connecticut. You've always been there, and now you have a great, great right-hand man there with Gary. The two of you are making a tremendous difference. You're a great team, and I can just see great things coming from that.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you so much.
One of my favorite colleagues up at the in the House of Representatives here in the state of Connecticut, State Rep. Tom Delnicki, South Windsor.